worship, and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret because he'll see about me.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
to study your word. Let the Holy Ghost do in this setting as only He can do. Meet your people where they are, lift them to the place you'd have them to be. And more especially, Lord, give us understanding about your word. We thank you for those who've made the sacrifice to be in the sanctuary and those who listen by radio and media means. So we ask your blessings upon this session. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Well, give the Lord a hand of praise as you are seated in His presence. Certainly, again, I'm grateful to the saints for this noon session, and I, in the spirit of wanting to stay with what God has for us to know and to further our understanding about the doctrines and principles, et cetera, of the Word, one of the things that I want to deal with today is the Holy Spirit and the Christian. Our monitor screen is not working today, so you'll have to listen and take notes today. Other than reading it off the monitor. I want you to turn to Acts 1 and 8. It's going to be our launching scripture today because we're going to talk about the Word of God. I'm going to give you scriptures to write down so you can go back over them and study them in your own private devotional time. Acts 1 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, the first thing we want to deal with is the promise, because it's so important to understand that this is a promise, but ye shall receive power. Now, if you say you have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and have no power, something's wrong. Something is wrong. This is a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking these words and he says, but ye shall receive power. But when do you receive that power? After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So the power comes as a result of the presence of the Holy Ghost. So if you've got the presence of the Holy Ghost, guess what you got? You got power. If you don't have power, it's a clear indication that the Holy Ghost ain't present. All right, so this is a promise. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ has said. Again, Luke 24 and 49 tells us before Christ ascended, he told the disciples to wait until they were filled with power. Again, that's in Luke 24 and 49. Now, you're going to receive power. Now, one of the things you're going to note also as well is you're going to have power to worship, because John 4 and 24 says this spirit, talking about the Holy Ghost, also helps us to worship, because God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that means the Holy Ghost is always going to back up the Word of God. The Word of God is always going to be necessary to be a part of a worship experience. You can't worship God without the Word. So if you're going to have a real worship experience, it's going to emanate from the Word of God, because He's going to be, again, the Spirit who brings us into the presence of God about what God has said, Spirit and in truth. He's also the one that helps us to pray. Romans 8:26, write that down. That's important. And then we're going to see also that we have power to witness. Acts 2nd chapter, verse 14 through verse 47. Peter is now a new man, and he has that ability to witness because of the power of the Holy Ghost. He was afraid to speak in front of three people about Jesus. Now, after he's filled with the Holy Ghost, he's speaking before 3,000 with boldness and power. And it's because the Holy Ghost has come upon him and he has power to do it. So the Holy Ghost helps him to witness, as does he with us. You also have power to work. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, let the Spirit work through you. You're going to discover that's important, not by might, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. There are going to be some things that you're not going to get done through your own ability, through your own strength, through your own cognizant realities. You're going to get those things done because the Holy Ghost is going to do those things, open those doors, make those way, give favor, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the promise. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. And you can't do spiritual things without the Holy Ghost. See, you can do some church work without the Holy Ghost, but you can't do the work of the church without the Holy Ghost. See, a whole lot of folk are operating on committees and in, you know, certain ministries without the aid and presence of the Holy Ghost. And yet they're not effective. And yet, while they may be able to make some logical sense out of certain things, the real power to be effective, the real power to transform, the real power to do what God has ordained you to do is going to come through the Holy Ghost. And so that's why when you're in ministry and you don't feel nothing, it could very well be because one or two things is the reality. The Holy Ghost is not present, or you're in the wrong place. See, you can be in the right church and yet be in the wrong ministry in that church. The Holy Ghost is the one who is going to give you the unction. That's why I don't care what folk try to do to pull you in a ministry, you stay right where you are till the Holy Ghost confirms it. Well, you look like you'll be a good usher. Well, ushers need to be better, at doing their job other than what people look at them and call them to be ushers, because it's a ministry. All right? I've seen some folk need assistance in church. Oh, just sitting by there looking. Aren't you an usher? They need assistance over there. They act like they don't know what they're doing. So you greet the people coming to church. What you do? Greet them, greeters. Well, it ain't my Sunday to greet. Well, you got issues, because the ministry doesn't have a time, date, or time to operate. It's when the need comes. It's when the Holy Ghost prompts you. You can be off that Sunday, but God might want you to speak to somebody. I mean, and on and on and on, all the way through the ministry, you're going to discover that there are just some things you cannot do effectively without the Holy Ghost. And so it's important to recognize that's the promise. But let's look at the plan. I want you to see that. Because after the Holy Ghost has come upon you is the plan now. Acts 1 and 4, and again, Luke 24 and 49 tells to wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost. Now, the promise, Acts 1 and 5, again, Christ promises that they would receive the Holy Spirit within a few days. Now, I'm going back and showing you the original plan so you can understand now what they had to tarry and wait for. You don't have to wait and tarry no more. Here people talking about, I'm tarrying for the Holy Ghost. Why are you tarrying? What you waiting for? He's already present. He's already willing. He's already able. All you have to do is receive. They had to wait because he had not yet come. And Jesus was telling them not many days from now he was going to come. But wait. It's important for you to be empowered, endued with the Holy Ghost before you go forth in ministry, because you will not be successful or effective in ministry outside of the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. So again, when we look at that, we'll see what the purpose of the Holy Spirit is. One, he convicts of sin, John 16 and 8. He convicts of sin. We're talking about what the Holy Ghost's purpose is. Also, he confirms salvation, Romans 8 and 16. Romans 8 and 16. What else does the Holy Ghost do? He comforts Christians according to John 16 and 7. And what else does the Holy Ghost do, and is his purpose? He controls Christians, Galatians 5 and 16. Now, when you recognize that, and you look through the fact that he convicts of sin, that's his job. It's not my job. It's not your job to convict anybody of sin. Sometimes we miss the purpose of the Holy Ghost and try and take on his job. If you ever notice, I mean, maybe even in a personal matter or situation, parents do it to children, husband and wives do it to each other, people in a relationship, friendships, etc. People get mad and then they try and throw what your weakness, your problem, your issue is back in your face to try and hurt you with something you've done or said in the past, trying to convict you of something, and you're looking at them like, you got a point to that. And it doesn't do what they expect to do, and then they get all frustrated because it didn't convict you. That's not their job to bring conviction on you. Matter of fact, you don't need to even tell them. The Holy Ghost will do it without you even opening up your mouth. You ain't got to say a word about it. All you got to do is do what God told you to do, called you to do, said to you to do, and he'll never be to try and bring conviction upon folk. That's why preachers and teachers and people who work and witness don't need to try. You know what? The drug addict don't need you to tell him nothing about his drug, his alcoholism, you know, prostitutes, they know better than you about all that stuff. They know that. Their issue is, how do I get delivered from that? How do I get free from that? How do I move on beyond that? You don't need to tell them about their shortcomings and their faults. That's the Holy Ghost's job. You just minister the word, and the conviction of the Holy Ghost will bring that he wants upon that person to make a change. The Holy Ghost's job is to confirm salvation. He reminds us, make it clear, we are who God says we are in him. That's his job, so that you have that knowledge underneath the skin, so that you're comfortable with, I am who God says I am, because the Holy Ghost has confirmed that underneath my own skin. So it don't matter what you think about me, how you feel about me, if the Holy Ghost has confirmed I'm a child of God, then I'm a child of God, whether you think so or not. The Holy Ghost's job comforts Christians. That is his job. He is the other comforter. Jesus in his day and time was the comforter, but he knew he was getting ready to leave, so he needed to leave another comforter, which was going to be the Holy Ghost, who would be able to do in totality what Jesus was only able to do in a local locale, in a purse where there were people who were within his presence, because he was still limited to the flesh. The Holy Ghost was not limited in his presence like Jesus was in this body in his presence. And so therefore, the Holy Ghost can be everywhere at the same time doing everything he needs to do where Jesus was limited. And that's why he said that he had to go back to the Father before the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, could come and be to all of us what he needed to be to all of us at the same time. And then again, Galatians 5:16 makes again clear that the purpose of the Holy Ghost is to control us when we can't control ourselves. And then power to do God's work. Paul had this power when he spoke of doing all things through Christ in Philippians 4:13. When he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. How does Christ strengthen you? Through the same Holy Ghost and power that he had when he walked on planet Earth, and when he was able to overcome the devil in the wilderness with all of the trials and the tribulations and the temptations that came his way. That same power, that strength that comes through Jesus is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was upon him without measure when he was baptized and endued with that power to do the work that God had given him to do. He said, I do always those things which please my Father. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh No man can work. So he recognized that in our season, in our timing, we need the Holy Ghost to help us do what God has called us to do while it is our time. You see, if you miss your season and miss your time, then the Holy Ghost is not going to show up and do outside your season. Amen. Yeah, it's important to realize that knowing your season and operating in your season and then having the presence of the Holy Ghost to be as effective and fruitful as you possibly can must also be done in your season. It's like what's called the window of opportunity. As long as the window of opportunity is open, you'll be able to accomplish those things. But once the window is closed, what you could have done when it was open, you'll no longer be able to do once it's closed. And so he gives you the power to be able to do all of those things through Christ, which strengthened you. Listen to this. Let's look at the proof of his sustaining power. That's the next thing, power, that I want us to really look at. Acts 20 and verse 24. Nothing kept Paul from serving Christ. Look at his testimony at the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. He talks about the time of his departure was at hand. And he talked about how he fought a good fight, finished his course, and kept the faith. That was important because the Holy Ghost was the one that gave Paul the ability to continue throughout his life the work that God had called him to do. The Christian must have the Holy Ghost in order to make the fullness of your life and your life's work in the plan that God has for you. You're going to have to be re-anointed over and over and over and over and over again. As God moves you from one level to the next level, he's going to have to strengthen your anointing for that next level. When you go through one thing, he's got to give you the anointing to make it through that one thing. But when you go through that one thing, guess what? Your anointing for that experience will have expired. So you're going to need a fresh anointing. When David said in Psalm 23 and 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? The anointing was right there. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, he comes through the valley, right? Now, after he comes through, he needs another anointing. Verse 5 reveals he gets another anointing. Thou anointest my head with oil. What was the oil? To represent the presence of God, the power of God, the place that God had given you to operate in authority in. So now God was in with him in the valley. He comes out and he anoints him, because I need you to know that when you come through your mess, when you come through your trials, when you come through your heartaches and heartbreaks and hardships, etc., you need a fresh anointing. How many of you had a need of a vacation after your vacation? You wear yourself out after vacation and need a week to rest up. So sometimes you got to realize, my brothers and sisters, that in this life, the Holy Ghost's job and presence is to keep you empowered. Amen. And that's why, listen to this. Every time you have a mountaintop experience, look for the valley. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountaintop with him, separated himself from the men at the bottom, and took these to experience with him the meeting of Elijah and Moses there on that mountain, talking about the Calvary experiences that would soon come. And so he met with the great lawgiver and the great prophet there. Peter got excited and saw that great transfiguration, said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles. In other words, Peter didn't want to go back down in the valley after he had experienced glory like that. When he got through saying, let's build three tabernacles, one for you, Moses, and Elijah, God spoke and said, this is my beloved son. You ain't got a thing to say. He tells literally Peter to shut up. Hear ye him. Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Let's go back down to the valley. And soon as he gets down at the valley, to the valley level, to the floor, guess what he finds? Problems. Problems his disciples couldn't even deal with. Now, it wasn't because they couldn't deal with it because they had no power. They couldn't deal with it because they had no faith. You see, Jesus had already empowered them to heal the sick, to deliver them from demonic powers and presence
and authorities. They already had that power. But when he separated himself from them and went on the mountaintop and took Peter, James, and John with them, they felt that they could no longer do what they had been empowered to do. And so as a result of that, the reality was that because their faith didn't line up with the fact that they could not heal this man's son who was a lunatic or was demonically possessed. Jesus came down and he healed the boy, and they wanted to know why we couldn't do it. He said, because of your unbelief. Right. Wasn't because you didn't have power to do it. But Peter, James, and John had to come back down where the work began and had to be again refreshed in the anointing to do the work. Whenever, and listen at this again, this is a powerful principle. Whenever God starts blessing, the devil starts messing. Whenever you are in a spiritual high place with God, keep your guards up, because the enemy is going to try and sneak attack you. But if you know the sneak attack is coming, it won't be a sneak. It will be an attack, though. But you will be ready for it. And what happens is we are sometimes just floating, and we're just, you know, sustained in that place of glory and don't want it to stop and don't want it to end and just want to remain there. But the problem with that is you got more work to do. Amen. And if you stay in that glory cloud, that the work won't get done. So it's just to refresh you and to remind you of what you're going to have in totality one day, but it ain't today. So get back to work, and you need power to do that. And so when you recognize this again, you'll recognize, the Bible says, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Witness means to give proof of something, proof of his saving power. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Paul the persecutor, Acts 8, 1 through 3, he was a persecutor then, now meets the Christ in Acts 9, 1 through 20. And from a persecutor, he was turned into a preacher. See, when that power meets your life, you're never the same. That's why the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now listen to this. The Holy Ghost is not going to come upon you till you've met Jesus. Amen. And you have developed a relationship with Jesus, and you have accepted Jesus. And so knowing that, you know, once Jesus has been accepted in your heart and you are a child of God, you have every right and expectation for the Holy Ghost, which is the gift that is given to the believer to come upon your life. To empower your life. It does not make sense for a believer to walk around without any power. When you represent the God of power. It makes no sense not to be authoritative and be able to walk in that authority in your life. To always be the one that's downtrodden, depressed, always oppressed, always broke, busted, and can't be trusted, always on the bottom end, always on the crying end, always on the part where you're the loser, never the winner. Something is wrong with your power. And it ain't nothing wrong with your power source. But something is wrong with your power connection. Freely you have received. And the reason he has given you the Holy Ghost freely is so that you can do freely the work that he's given you to do. And you can't do that without the power. And that's why you want to, you know, become a recluse and hide out and don't want to open up your mouth and let folk know you know the Lord. And sometimes God will call you out. He'll make somebody say, you a Christian now. Or they don't even know you, but there's that sense of the Holy Ghost's presence upon you. You're different. And you're different to make a difference. And so he'll call you out when you're hiding out. And when you're having your own pity party, or you're in that place where you don't really want to be the light that he has caused to be a shining example in this world, or the salt to savor some unsavory situation. You've got the right words, but you won't open your mouth and speak them. To bring joy, to bring goodness, to bring blessings, but you won't speak them. And you won't do it because the Holy Ghost is not present with you. Because when he's present, guess what? You can't keep your mouth closed. You cannot stop what he wants to do when he's present. And he'll make you do what you don't want to do. He'll make you go where you don't want to go. He'll make you give what you don't want to give. That's the power that controls you when he's a part of you. You do not control him. I got the Holy Ghost. That's your problem. The Holy Ghost ought to have you. Because when you got the Holy Ghost, that means you're the one in control. But when the Holy Ghost got you, you can't do nothing but just, yes, Lord, whatever, however, whenever, wherever. And you're glad about it. All right. Now, again, you got these scriptures down. Again, the proof of salvation, saving power, 1 Timothy 1:15. When Paul was a persecutor, Acts 8, 1 through 3. Then he meets Christ in Acts 9, verse 1 through 20. He is changed and transformed into a preacher. And then proof of his satisfying power. Philippians 4 and 7 says, he is able to give us peace at all times, a peace that passeth all understanding. He can satisfy you far beyond your ability to even comprehend it. Sometimes, when the Holy Ghost is upon you, man, you can be going through a world of stuff. And all of a sudden, just to remind you that you belong to him, he'll just give you a peace. And you're like, but Lord, I don't know how it's going to work out. But the peace. It's not that you're no longer concerned that it's going to work out. You're just no longer concerned about how it's going to work out. You ain't trying to, you know, worry your nerves about how the Lord's going to do it now. Because when he gives you that peace that passes all understanding, that's for your spirit, man. And if you're praying in the spirit and if you're meditating on God's word, your spirit, man, is going to encourage you till your help gets there. And when your help gets there, you're going to know it's your help because he's going to come to help you out of what you're in. Help you up from the downcast state. He's going to be able to put a smile in your heart and a song in your mouth, and he's going to cause you to rejoice forevermore. You don't understand. The Holy Ghost is what you need when you're up and when you're down, when you're right and when you're wrong. Because when he convicts you of what you're wrong, you don't mind saying, I'm sorry. You don't mind saying, listen, I messed up. It's my mistake, okay? I'm at fault for that. Because what you know is you can't get your blessings till you get it right with the Lord. And so when you begin to work into that realm and operate in that, you'll know that he'll give you a satisfying power through peace that passeth all understanding. But then he gives you proof of his sanctifying power. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Only Christ can cleanse us from all sin. And true is that word. You know, when you're a new person in Christ, when you're born again, all things become new. Old things are passed away. And then in John chapter 3, verse 1 through 8, and John 14 and 6, you're going to see again that he has the power to sanctify you. All that's a part of what Jesus has said. All that's a part of what the Holy Ghost does. All right, the place. Let's deal with the place. We've dealt with the power. We've dealt with the plan. Now we want to deal with, and we've dealt with the promise. Now we want to deal with the place. Why is that important? Because the word of God is clear about what God wants to do in his word. Now, this is that part in Acts 1:8 where he says, both in Jerusalem, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. Talking about the place now. In Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, let's investigate that, because we're not in Jerusalem. And we're not in all Judea. We're not in Samaria. And we're not in, well, we are in some of the uttermost parts of the world. That's our present position. But let's look at that in the practical application, because here's where it makes sense to you. Because this word, now that Jesus speaks to them who are first receiving the Holy Ghost, they had to begin where the Holy Ghost came. Amen. And he came where? Where were they in the upper room and received it? In Jerusalem. That's where the promise was to be taken place. In Jerusalem, in that upper room experience. Wait there till you receive the power. He told them to do that. Now, here's what you need to realize. So he tells them, you can't start working, witnessing, worshiping until you get your power. And the place where you get it, listen, is where you began. So what's important to realize is that for us now, as we progress through time, it literally means to begin where you are. So technically, Jerusalem for us is where? Baton Rouge. Baton Rouge is our Jerusalem. All right? What then is Judea, all Judea? I want you to help me teach this right now, because I'm about to close. Okay, now if Jerusalem